and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folk. Mr. Folk, how have you been?
I've been well, Rob. Okay. And you?
Well, better than the markets, that's for sure, because that stock stock markets, boy, oh boy, have they ever been under a lot of pressure lately. And you know what else has been under a lot of pressure too, Mickey? And we've talked about it before, but we're revisiting it again, and that is copper. I think last check was down about 17% year-to-date. You've looked at this, Mickey, and the price is not acting in a way in which you think it should be acting.
Well, who am I to say the way it's supposed to be acting? It's just flaunting supply-demand fundamentals at this point. And a lot of it has to do with Trump's trade tariffs and this ongoing scuffle, kerfluffle with
China.
With China. Which has allowed the speculators to game the market, I think. The net shorts are at, if they're not now, they were a couple of weeks ago at all-time highs in the futures and options market.
Okay, well, you've also pointed out in a musings on this, Mickey, that we have warehouse stockpiles down significantly as well. You would think that would be giving the price a boost.
Well, this is part of the supply-demand fundamental story, which flies in the face of low copper prices now. Mm-hmm. So it's from its high of 330 back in early June, we've now lost, as you said, I think it's about 16% as of today. Mm-hmm. The price closed at 279. But world warehouse stocks since the 1st of April, when the price was up about 315 or something like that, are 50% off. Chinese imports, record imports, concentrate imports in September of 1.9 million tons, 15% year-to-date increase in refined copper imports. The Baltic Dry Index is very high, reached 52-week highs at over 1,700 for much of August and remains at above 1,500 at this point. So there's lots of reasons why the price should be higher.
Mm-hmm. Well, explain for listeners then, Mickey, if the fundamental reasons for a higher price are in place, but the price is not going up in the direction that we think it should, how do speculators get in there and kind of control the market then to keep the price subdued?
Well, the markets are controlled by speculators. In the futures and options market, which really, for the most part, controls the spot price or those attitudes, those positions, and you've got two things. You've got big hedge funds on both sides of the Pacific, mainly in New York and coming out of China, and they are net short to great degrees right now based on the idea that these trade tariffs are going to disrupt world copper markets and based on the idea that copper demand, even if strong right now, the futures and options market are in backwardation way out. I mean, 3 to 8 months out in backwardation, and on Friday, actually out on London, 20 months out before today's price is reached by the futures price. So those sorts of backwardations are very unusual, and it just depends on the fact that the net shorts are massively short right now.
The U.S. dollar is a very important component that we always need to bring into this discussion as well, Mickey. When you look at how copper is trading and you look at how the greenback is trading, is there a mismatch there as well?
No, absolutely not. The dollar's up 7% since this mid-April time that we just discussed, and copper is down 11% over that period of time. So a lot of it has to do with strength of U.S. dollar, too.
What about when you look into the future, Mickey, mines that are under construction at all? Are there enough existing mines in place right now that are producing to keep up with future demand? Or are we heading into a period where not enough work has been done to meet future demand, and sooner or later that's going to catch up?
Well, you nailed that point on the head. Even though demand is up 5% the first half of this year, we are in a small supply deficit, and going forward, we do not have the pipeline of deposits being developed that is going to satisfy demand, even if demand, which normally is, since 1900, world copper demand has increased from 500,000 tons to 24 million tons per year. That works out to greater, well above a 3% annual growth in demand. So that's part of the story, and that's why I'm bullish on copper, not only in the mid to long term, but we've already talked about the short term fundamentals. Mm-hmm. We just do not have a pipeline that normally is in the works to supply the annual rise in demand, and grades are dropping drastically, and at this price of 279 today is what it closed at. It dropped 5 cents today, based mainly on Larry Kudlow. The for those in Canada probably don't know who he is, but he's a well-known talking head on business TV, mm-hmm. and now he's Trump's economic advisor, main economic advisor. He came in and bashed the Chinese for not attempting to cooperate to solve the trade tariff issues, and the price of copper dropped 5 cents today. Mm,
okay. Now, you mentioned the astronomical growth in how much copper the world uses. And of course, the more copper we use, that's based on the fact that there's the population of the world is obviously just going to continue to increase. And I think you wrote recently, Mickey, that the world population growing by 85 million people approximately a year. That's a lot of people. And that you need a lot of copper to build houses for those people and, you know, have cars and everything else.
Well, it's about electrification, really. And, of course, construction and housing and vehicles come into that, too.
Right.
But 25% of the world still get up in the morning when it gets light, and they go to bed when it gets dark at night. They don't have electricity, and a big portion of those people are where the growth is the fastest, and that's in Eastern Asia and also in Sub-Saharan Africa, but it's not going to develop anytime soon. But that particular region in Eastern Asia is developing infrastructure and modernizing quite rapidly,
right.
And that would be mainly in China and India and Indonesia, places like that. So you can't transmit electricity without copper.
Yep.
And so massive amounts of copper required. Not only that, but electronics and communications and industrial machinery. You can't build a motor without electrical motor without copper windings. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah. One little area that we haven't discussed, Mickey, and this concerns the labor situation at mines, copper mines throughout the world. I think going into 2018, there were some expectations of disruptions where they're not, they haven't materialized.
Yeah, Rob, there were big ideas about big disruptions in copper supplies, basically because there were 30 big labor contracts in Chile, and Chile remains the world's largest copper producer, mm-hmm. that were coming up. And the unions in Chile don't get along with Codelco and the major mining companies. So there was this thought there were going to be massive strikes as there were last year at Escondida. And that did not come to pass. All those so far, all those big union contracts have been settled with no disruption. So analysts always bake in about 4 to 5% per year in copper demand not met because of supply disruption. Mm-hmm. That has not come to pass this year. There is one supply disruption on the horizon, and that's Codelco, mm-hmm. in Chile is going to cease operations at two of its smelters for 45 to 80 days in mid-December to meet new environmental standards. So there will be some disruption at that point.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be big enough really to rock the market at all, would it?
No, I mean, I went in and did the math on it. Looked to me something on the order of perhaps two plus or minus 2 days of annual demand. So world uses about 65,000 tons of copper per day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, somewhere 100 to 150,000 tons might come off the market during that period of time.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, the investing angle to this, is this a golden opportunity for investors to get in there and take advantage of these weak prices, betting as you are, I'm sure, that the prices will be moving higher in the not-too-distant future?
Well, certainly is, and how you play the market's up to you. You can play if you're a really high-risk sort of gambler, you can play the futures and options market, although that's really game for the big traders and speculators. Mm-hmm. You can buy a couple of copper ETFs, or like me, you can play some good juniors that, for the most part, even if they've done well, they've done well in the face of a lowering copper market. And if you think I'm correct, and the supply demand fundamentals, at some point I think the shorts are going to be given their shorts, or they're going to take it in the shorts, yep, if you will. Generally, when everybody's on one side of a trade, the traders and speculators, that massive shorting or massive long will come back to haunt them at some point, and I think that's what's going to happen in the copper market. So pick a good junior that's down and out, or even the ones that have flown in the face of a weakening copper market, because you're going to get rewarded when copper price goes up.
Okay.
And I think it's just a matter of when, not if.
Okay, great way to wrap it up, Mickey. Thanks very much for this. Let's reconnect in about a month's time.
Look forward to it, Rob. Thank you.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.